Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, September 13th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And yeah, Friday preview show. We're going to rip through the remaining 15 games on the slate. I want to give you a couple quick thoughts on Thursday Night Football as well. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, there it is. That's the promo. That's it. Let's quickly get into some thoughts from last night. First and foremost, let's address Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know. I honestly have no clue how long he's going to be out. No idea. Concussions are always difficult to predict. Sometimes you'll see a guy who looks like he suffered a pretty significant concussion come back the next week. Other times it looks like a mild concussion and they're out for multiple weeks. I don't know. I really don't know. In the short term, I have been told that the Dolphins do plan to go with Skylar Thompson. I don't think there's really any other option for them at this point. You don't want to get a veteran in off the street because that veteran's probably on the street for a reason. So that's the short-term plan. And yes, that will have a negative impact on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in the short term. We just have to kind of take it from here. Now is not the time to panic. It's not the time to sell Tyreek Hill or something like that because you're going to sell for cents on the dollar. And well, that's not how you make a profit. Otherwise, no Mostert and really just all Achan. Actually, very encouraging that he got 29 touches. I did not see that one coming. I thought we would have seen a little bit more Jeff Wilson. We barely saw him. A little bit more Jalen Wright. We barely saw him. So Achan actually looked pretty good, though. Overall, looked pretty explosive despite the disappointing game script overall for the Dolphins. Obviously, even before the concussion, there were three interceptions thrown by Tua. One of them was a pick six. One of them wasn't his fault. So I'm not going to hold that one against him, but still not a good outing for the Dolphins. It is week two. Let's not forget. Over to the other side, I don't expect James Cook to score lots and lots of touchdowns every single week. He did get a goal line carry, though, so I like that. He scored on a goal line carry, but I've said this about James Cook over and over. If the touchdowns are going to come, they have to be longer touchdowns, and it's harder to score longer touchdowns. So is it a sell high opportunity? Potentially. But I know what happens with a lot of fantasy managers. They only see the most recent results, that recency bias, and the assumption then is that James Cook is all of a sudden an RB1. I don't think we're there yet. We could be there in a few weeks if this sort of thing keeps up, but it looks like they took advantage of really a good matchup, plain and simple. They didn't need to do much of anything else, so don't panic. For Josh Allen. Don't panic for Keon Coleman, who was not involved at all. They didn't need him. Don't panic for Dalton Kincaid as well. Keon Coleman's going to remain on benches if I have him. And I hope people drop him in some of my leagues because I'd love to scoop him up. He is the lone every down receiver for them. Shakir comes off the field at various points. Mac Collins comes off the field. Keon Coleman does not. So that's encouraging there. All right, let's get into the games themselves. Want to rip through these as fast as I can. And remember, the goal isn't to give you the obvious stuff. Like, so for example, New Orleans and Dallas, of course you're going to start CeeDee Lamb. But Dak Prescott coming off of last week wasn't the most impressive performance for fantasy purposes. I think this game ends up being closer. The spread is 6.5 right now, which I feel like that's a stretch. This New Orleans team is not bad. They're pretty feisty, and I think they'll give Dallas at least a run for their money in this one. So, yeah, Prescott is up into top 12 territory for me. Derek Carr is not. This is a much tougher test for Derek Carr. He's not usable in Superflex even for me this week. Much tougher test against an awesome pass rusher in Micah Parsons and a pretty good secondary as well. So we'll see how he fares here. I'm using Kamara. I'm using Chris Olave, although only as a wide receiver too. I think he could possibly flex out Rashid Shaheed. It's not because of the long touchdown too, by the way. It's the fact that he is playing an every down role for that team. So that is encouraging. Moving on to Tampa and Detroit, starting the usual suspects here across the board in Detroit. And yes, Jameson Williams, his arrow is pointing up. We'll see how he fares this week. But, you know, again, the 9 targets was really the key for me, not necessarily the long touchdown. It's the volume that's key. He is up into, basically wide receiver 3 territory at this point. Moving over to the other side, much like Derek Carr, this is a much more of a litmus test game for Baker Mayfield. He took advantage of a very weak matchup last week and, you know, went after them with the four passing scores. How does he fare against Detroit? Now, this should be a little bit of a boat race, a higher scoring game. So how does he fare here? Not worried about Evans or Godwin, but Mayfield could be a back-end QB1 this week, depending on, you know, what you have available to you. He's a, let's call him at least a fringe quarterback one. He could potentially be playable here. Not worried about Bucky Irving's play last week, like him eating into Rashad White's workload. He played well, but Rashad White was still the clear lead back. Moving on to Indianapolis and Green Bay. This one should be a very Indy-friendly game script with Malik Willis looking very likely to be the starter here for the Green Bay Packers. Loving Anthony Richardson, obviously, but I think the one area that is most interesting here, because of course, if you have Jonathan Taylor, you're using him and Michael Pittman Jr., but it's Alec Pierce coming off of last week. He had a career high 125 receiving yards, which is very nice, but two enormous plays in this game. The one was the 60-yard touchdown, and then he had another reception of 50-plus. Is it sustainable? Now, if you picked up Alec Pierce, I don't think that's necessarily a bad move, but I need to see more than one game with three catches before I start him with any confidence. So he's more of a guy that we're just keeping on the bench for right now. And hey, things could change as well when Josh Downs gets back on the field. No indication if that's going to happen this week, but it doesn't look likely given his practice status so far. Could happen, though. We'll see. On the other side, they're really, you can't use any of the wide receivers with Malik Willis as the starter. He's a complete liability here, which sucks. I mean, we'll see what happens with Jordan Love. At least there are some sentiment out there that this is not going to be a very long-term absence. So that's good. But I guess maybe Josh Jacobs, but even there, I'm only positioning him as a back-end RB2. He should see the volume, but what kind of volume is it? If they get completely blown out here, he's not going to get much work on the ground, and that's going to really put a damper on things. So just be aware of that with Jacobs this week. Really, the entire offense goes, you know, down in terms of outlook with Malik Willis under center. Jets, Tennessee Titans, Aaron Rodgers, 7 straight games without multiple passing touchdowns, 23 straight games without 300 plus passing yards. 23 straight games. That's crazy. So can he do enough to be fantasy viable? Not yet. Obviously not worried about Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall. Breece Hall is my number one overall player this week. But if you picked up Alan Lazard, I feel that's a bit of fool's gold. He had a career game, and he did so in part due to garbage time. And then on top of that, Mike Williams' role should expand this week. I still don't think he's going to be full-time, but the role should expand. And it'll be interesting to see how Rodgers incorporates Mike Williams this week. I'd just be very cautious with Alan Lazard. Moving to the Tennessee side, honestly, it was really ugly watching Will Levis back. I mean, he has 10 career starts. He has 9 career passing touchdowns. He's thrown 2 pick sixes over that span of time as well. That's not good. Stating the obvious here, but does he do enough for Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins? And we should see more DeAndre Hopkins this week. So if you have him on benches, keep him there for now. Ridley is the only playable option for now. But does he do enough for these guys to be fantasy viable going forward? Or are we going to get to a point where Mason Rudolph comes in? And honestly, I wouldn't hate that for Ridley and Hopkins. I mean, Rudolph can throw the ball around the yard a little bit. He's, you know, not going to be as mobile as Levis. And, you know, there's he doesn't have the ceiling of Levis, but if he has a higher floor, I'm okay with that. We'll keep an eye on the backfield. Tony Pollard is playable. Tajay Spears is not right now. Last week's snaps, 38 for Pollard, 27 for Spears. So for now, Pollard is a flex option. This is a tough matchup, though, against the Jets. San Francisco, Minnesota. All right, so monitoring Christian McCaffrey. He has been limited in practice this week, but I don't think he plays. He certainly looks to be on the wrong side of questionable. If he doesn't play, Jordan Mason's a top 10, if not top 5 fantasy running back. Easy, right? And from there, I mean, I guess the two other points I want to make on the San Francisco side, because you're staying the course, obviously, with Debo and George Kittle. But Brandon Ayuk, I understand if you have a little bit of concern here. Just give him a few weeks. He does need some time to get back into football shape. He apparently, obviously, was not last week. And had he been in football shape, maybe he catches that touchdown, and maybe it's a different outcome. I think you can use him as a wide receiver three, but obviously expectations have to be in check to start things out here. We're still only in week two. Brock Purdy, a fringe quarterback one, as Ayuk gets, you know, rounds into form a little bit more, I think we're going to see those numbers a little bit better for Purdy. Also, they're not going to have blowouts every single week. On the Minnesota side, we get Sam Darnold's sweet revenge, right? How dare you let me leave and become a starting quarterback elsewhere, San Francisco. Darnold's going to do enough for Justin Jefferson to be a top 10 option. Honestly, looked pretty decent last week. Now, it was against the Giants. This is a much tougher task against the 49ers, but he looked pretty good. So I'm all right with that. Aaron Jones, 90-plus rushing yards in six straight games. That's the longest streak by a player since Zeke did it, Ezekiel Elliott, in 2017. So Jones, yes, Ty Chandler's going to be used, but Jones is very effective. I think he's a solid, even in this matchup, solid RB2 option. Moving on to Seattle and New England, you know, you have these two first-time NFL head coaches who both won in week one. So one of them is going to be 2-0 to start out their coaching career in Mike McDonald and Gerard Mayo. On the Seattle side, we're keeping an eye on Kenneth Walker. So as of right now, I don't have a Friday practice report. I guess in theory I could wait until they come out, but then this podcast doesn't come out until like 7 o'clock at night because I'm waiting across, you know, not only the East Coast practice reports, but the West Coast ones, whatever. Limited information. Here's what I do know. He didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. We need today's report, and what I'm looking for is at least limited. If he's limited and he's labeled as questionable, then I think it would be a legit 50-50. If he goes DNP, even if he's labeled as questionable, he's not going to play, almost certainly. So we need to see at least limited today. So that's what you're looking for when you see the practice reports. If he does go, then, you know, much like Devon Achane, some people were actually pulling him from lineups last night because they were concerned about the ankle. Like, if he's playing, he's good enough to play. Like, this is not a, you don't decoy with the running back. And if there is a reduced workload, we will hear from Schefter, Rappaport, et cetera, well in advance of the game. So just be aware of that. So if he goes, he's right back into, like, you whatever, top 15 territory. And I would expect a healthy dose of him because this team does want to run the football. If he is unable to play, Zach Charbonnet moves into basically about top 15 territory as well. He'll certainly be top 20. He may not fully crack the top 15. I have not run those numbers yet. We're still awaiting everything. When I get that information later today, I am going to update everything at ftnfantasy.com. Like, I may have a questionable, but again, I'm going to use my best judgment here of looking, studying practice reports for the last decade and a half, use my best judgment, but can't do anything until we get there, right? And I'm a firm believer in this when it comes to fantasy football. I do not like to put the cart in front of the horse. Everything has to be in its own time, and I can't say, oh yeah, definitely he's going to be RB6. Like, I won't know until we get all that information and then I run the simulation. So that's really important. The steps have to be in order. So that's what we're waiting on there. DK, I mentioned a little bit yesterday, but DK did see tough coverage last week. He's going to see tough coverage again from Christian Gonzalez. So he's more of a back-end wide receiver too, but he's still very playable. On the other side, Ramondre is the only playable option. And he was really good last week. It wasn't just the yardage total and all that. He forced 10 missed tackles in one game. Like, that's awesome. And that was the most by any running back for the week. Giants, Washington Commanders. All right, Malik Nabers, let's talk about him because he is the focal point for a lot of people right now. Nabers has a knee issue that popped up in practice yesterday. Usually that is not good. Now, Brian Daboll has come out and already said he's not worried about this whatsoever. If that is the case and Nabers goes, this is a great matchup for Nabers, even with Daniel Jones as his quarterback. It's a great matchup for him, front end wide receiver too. If he doesn't go, then really I'm going to try and avoid the Giants largely here. I guess Singletary as a flex option, but I really would try to avoid the Giants altogether. On the other side, Jaden Daniels is a top 10 option. After last week, he is the second quarterback in NFL history to have 100-plus passing yards, 50-plus rushing yards, and 2-plus rushing touchdowns in his first career start. The only other one to do so, not a bad one back in the day for fantasy purposes, Dante Culpepper back in 2000. So I like that. Still have Brian Robinson ahead of Austin Eckler, and I'm willing to give Terry McLaurin the benefit of the doubt. Let's move over to the Chargers and Carolina Panthers. So on the Chargers side, people want to jam J.K. Dobbins into their lineups, and that's fine. I mean, I have him as a back-end RB2. We saw both running backs score against the Panthers last week, both Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams. And so, yeah, J.K. Dobbins is in a good spot. But let's be clear that the touches are still going to be split between J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And that's the one thing that does put a cap on what Dobbins can do. And unlike last week, I mean, last week there was only one running back in the NFL who had a run of 40-plus yards. It was J.K. Dobbins. And he didn't just have one. He had two of them. I don't know if those big plays keep coming. I don't want to trust that big plays keep coming. So looking at things generally, back end RB2, I am starting him in a league. So just so you're aware, I ended up drafting him in a bunch of spots. And I know a bunch of Rat Packers who are subscribers at FTNFantasy.com did as well. You know, he really, there was appeal, and really what moved the needle for me, because I was reluctant early in the draft process, but I spoke to Hayden Hurst when I was out in Los Angeles for my live Scott Fishbowl draft. And I spoke to Hayden Hurst about him, and Hayden Hurst said, no, he looks good, man. He looks healthy. He looks good. He's really crisp in practice. And I was like, all right, well, that's interesting. Let's take some late round flyers on him. And so far, so good. Obviously, it's only 1 week. Moving to the other side, there are some very encouraging things beneath the surface about the Carolina Panthers offense. On the surface, it looked like doo-doo butter last week. It looked bad. But there are a few things that I found encouraging. Bryce Young, last week, not good numbers, right? And even the rushing touchdown looked weird. Like, none of it was good. But he did rank second among quarterbacks in air yards with 12.2 air yards per throw. I know you're not in an air yards league, like a points per air yards league. I know that. You don't have to tell me, right? And like the angry fantasy guys out there always get so upset when we talk about air yards. But why do I talk about air yards? Well, air yards indicate upside. That's it. If you want a good way of measuring upside from a quarterback or a wide receiver, the higher the number, the more the upside, right? 12.2 is a big number. Now, didn't complete many of them, but that's encouraging. Here's the other one, and this is even more encouraging. He threw to the end zone four times. That tied for the week high with Lamar Jackson and Derek Carr. That's really encouraging. Now, he converted zero for touchdowns, but I want these guys to at least take the shots. You're not going to score or throw for a lot of touchdowns if you're not taking the shots to the end zone. Two of those went to Diontae Johnson. I've heard from people saying Diontae Johnson was dropped in leagues. That's awesome. I love really bad overreactions like that in fantasy, and I would definitely be scooping him up. I don't know if this comes to fruition this week or next week or anytime soon, but beneath the surface, the numbers were actually very encouraging about the Carolina Panthers. All right, moving on to Cleveland and Jacksonville. Watson needs to show that he can play football, and he has not been able to do so in his time with the Cleveland Browns. 13 games with them, zero 300-yard passing games. That is second to Aaron Rodgers, that stat that I just mentioned earlier. He's got to show that he can actually play, and I don't know if he can. And it seems to me like he's probably a little distracted with all the off-field stuff going on as well. It's a volatile situation, puts a damper on Amari Cooper, who's, you know, probably more of a wide receiver three than he is a wide receiver two. It's frustrating. It is. Again, last week was just 1 week, and we'll see if things turn around here. But for now, I honestly would rather use the Jacksonville defense than anything here to pick on Watson. Over to the other side, not overly concerned about Tank Bigsby because, yes, he did play well, 12 carries, 73 yards. He looked really good, but the snaps really paint an interesting story here, or interesting picture. 34 snaps for ETN, 17 for Bigsby. So ETN's still the clear lead back. That's not changing. Now, ETN maybe is more of an RB2, especially this week against a tough Cleveland defense, but I don't think there's any concern of Tank Bigsby leapfrogging ETN in the pecking order. He's going to remain a change of pace guy for sure for this offense. As far as the wideouts are concerned, it's weird because the wideout who's playing the most snaps is the one who is lowest in my rankings out of the top three, and that's Gabe Davis. I still think Christian Kirk is the best option, though he's like a low ceiling wide receiver three. You could potentially flex out Brian Thomas, who got in the end zone. I mean, the kid knows how to score touchdowns. He had 17 of them in the SEC last year and now already has one in his pro debut here. So I don't mind him as a flex option. Vegas and Baltimore, the quarterback position is a major concern for Vegas. Gardner Minshew, it didn't really look that good. And it's not going to be any easier on the road against Baltimore. So that puts a damper on Devontae Adams, who's more of a back-end wide receiver two this week in this brutal matchup. And be very, very, very careful about this backfield. Last week, we saw Alexander Mattison play 35 snaps, 23 for Zamir White. Now, this is not Alexander Mattison is ahead. This is they're playing distinct roles. Mattison seems to clearly be the passing down back. White seems to clearly be the early down back. Now, this will play out on the other side as well when I talk about Derrick Henry in a minute here. But in games where you're winning, your early down back's probably going to play more snaps if you have this sort of those sort of jobs defined for different players in your backfield, right? So you get out to a lead, you want to run the football. Early down guy gets more snaps. You play from behind, you're going to be, and or if you're potentially just struggling on offense and you're in a lot of third and long type situations, your passing down back's going to play more. I think that's what we're going to see continually here for the Raiders. I doubt they play from the lead a lot throughout the course of the season. I mean, things can change, of course. I'm not knocking your team, Raiders fans, but just setting us up for this reality here. White is at best a flex play. Like, I'm not using Mattison, but White is at best a flex play this week. Let me get to the other side. So, Derrick Henry. And I've gotten a lot of questions. First and foremost, is Justice Hill his handcuff? No. Justice Hill is the passing down back. If Derrick Henry went down, it wouldn't just be, oh, Justice Hill slides into that role. I would assume, based on their depth chart, that they would actually have a committee of three backs who would pick up the slack there, and maybe he'll get a carry or two more, but really where he's going to have value is in games where they play from behind, which is what they did last week. In games where they play ahead, that's where Derrick Henry is going to, you know, get all his work because he's the early down back. Well, they're 8-point favorites in this one. This feels like a Derrick Henry week. I actually really like Derrick Henry in DFS as well this week. Really nice setup for Henry. Yeah, that's pretty much the main thing. I mean, I'm not getting too cute, too crazy with Isaiah Likely. I think it's better to proceed with caution here, and it will be interesting to see, do the Raiders try and key him a little bit more, and then does that open things up for Mark Andrews this week? But I'm not getting cute with that. Rams, Arizona, no Nacua, obviously. We'll see what happens with the other wide receivers. Like, we know Cooper Kupp's going to get his, and I actually think that Colby Parkinson is a pretty interesting tight end play as a back-end tight end one. He's currently at 10 in my rankings. But DeMarcus Robinson figures to be the second wide receiver target. I think you can flex him, but I'm not going any further than that. And then Tyler Johnson, as of now, is the number three. He's like 3,000 on DraftKings, by the way. So he's a good play there, but he's not approaching starter material in redraft fantasy football leagues. So we'll see what ends up happening with those guys. But for now, expect a lot of Cooper Kupp. Last week, by the way, was his career high in targets. It's kind of crazy given how massive his Triple Crown season was. But anyway, moving to the other side, I understand the concern about Marvin Harrison Jr. I get it. You know, he had one catch for 4 yards. He did not look particularly good, but it was 1 week. So let's see what happens this week for Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's safer to view him as like a wide receiver three or back end wide receiver two. I think that's a safer view, but I don't like to judge a player based on one game, especially when that one game is in week one. I want to give these guys at the beginning of the season a good month or so to truly evaluate them. Because remember, we draft these guys for a reason. We evaluate guys all offseason. We draft them for a reason. If we don't have a reason to draft them, next year we should have a reason to draft the guys that we draft. But we draft them for a reason. And that reason isn't to blow up in week one. It's nice if they do, but it's not the be-all, end-all. And I can't tell you how many times I pulled the ripcord. This is when I was a really... I'm still trying to get better at this game, but when I was a really crappy player about, 15, 20 years ago, I would pull the ripcord on guys way too early in the beginning of the season, and like a lot of fantasy managers do, and then proceed to watch them blow up the rest of the year on somebody else's squad. I definitely do not want to do that with Marvin Harrison Jr. When, and obviously you're not cutting him, but if you were trading him away, this is a good time to actually try and trade for him, not the other way around. Pittsburgh, Denver. As of now, it does seem like Justin Fields is going to be the starter. I am not a fan of Justin Fields from a football standpoint. I don't see it. He's a good running quarterback, but man, does he struggle as a passer. And that's why I haven't been running out and picking him up. I understand the fantasy upside is there, but the reality is, can he actually hold the job when Russell Wilson is healthy? I'm not convinced he can. So it's a short-term solution. And I think there were better options this week that give you more long-term appeal. Heck, even Baker Mayfield or Matthew Stafford give you more long-term appeal than the short-term of Justin Fields. So keep that in mind. I mean, you can start him at your own peril here. I have him outside of the top 12 as of right now. Moving over to the other side. And by the way, tough coverage for George Pickens coming this week from Pat Surtain. On the other side, Bo Nix last week had the fewest passing yards in a game with 25 plus completions in NFL history. But the next lowest number is a pretty big name. The previous record holder for this particular category was Joe Montana in 1980. So let's see how Bo Nix does here. Cortland Sutton last week faced tough coverage. He'll also face it again this week with Joey Porter Jr. But he did see 12 targets, and they are pretty banged up at wide receiver. As far as the running backs are concerned, I'm willing to give Javonte Williams the benefit of the doubt, but I don't have him as anything more than the flex option, him and Jaleel McLaughlin. But let's see how they use them this week. It's just a really tough matchup, though, against Pittsburgh. All right, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Joe Burrow, the wrist issue. He claims is not an issue. Well, he is at least going to be without T. Higgins in this one. T. Higgins currently labeled as doubtful by the Cincinnati Bengals, so that means he's not going to play. So another week of Jamar Chase. Chase should see his fair share of McDuffie in this one, but he should be fine. Six catches for 62 yards, and that's kind of like a floor for him, so I'm okay with that. He's still a top 10 option. The backfield, Zach Moss is the playable one, but I'm not getting rid of Chase Brown. I want to see what happens. Again, evaluate him over the course of the first month of the season, not just the first game. Over to the other side. So the news coming out today that Hollywood Brown is going to injured reserve. And I got a couple questions in the FTN Discord, whether or not this is just a 4-game absence and then that's that. It does not sound like that. It actually sounds like this is much more significant for Hollywood Brown. And while he could be designated to return later in the season, he's not going to be back anytime soon. I do think, I have him in a league that I'm going to drop him. I don't think it's worth carrying him because in the meantime, we're only just going to see more of Xavier Worthy. And I don't think it's worth rostering him. I'm not concerned, by the way, about Kelsey. We're going to see, our fair share of Worthy. Obviously, plenty of Rashee Rice, plenty of Pacheco. I'm not worried about Kelsey, though. Be careful with Worthy because he did only have 3 touches last week, but he still obviously has that explosive upside. Chicago, Houston. Chicago is very banged up at wide receiver. Roma Dunze has the MCL issue. He doesn't look like he's going to play this week. We have to keep a close eye on Keenan Allen, who has a heel issue. He has not practiced as of today. I don't have a Friday practice report. We're going to do the same thing, though, with Kenneth Walker. If Keenan Allen goes DNP and he's labeled questionable, I doubt he plays. If he goes limited and he's labeled questionable, true 50-50. If he goes full and he's labeled questionable, he's going to play. I would say my read, he has a better chance of playing than Adunze, but they could be without both of them. Actually, a pretty good spot for DJ Moore. Love the ceiling there, and I do think we'll see an improved Caleb Williams this week now that the first game is out of the way, the jitters are out of the way. Over to the other side, I mean, remember, there's only one football for the Texans, and last week Tank Dell was sort of the odd man out with Joe Mixon blowing up, with Stephon Diggs with 2 touchdowns, and Nico Collins going for over 100 yards. But just keep that in mind. It's not going to be the same guys every single week. This could be a Tank Dell week. Now, I have him ranked the lowest out of those guys. So basically, I have Nico Collins as a back-end wide receiver 1, Stephon Diggs is a mid-range wide receiver 2, and then mid-range wide receiver 3 for Tank Dell. But definitely still plenty of juice there with him. I would not be too concerned. Mixon is a top 10, by the way. I expect a lot of Mixon in this one. Bears defense is very good, but Man, Mixon, volume, 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 and that's a good thing. All right, we'll round it out here with Monday Night Football. Of course, on Monday, I'll be back, and I'm going to give you takeaways. I won't preview Monday Night Football on Monday's podcast. I'll just give you the key takeaways from each game. So we have the Eagles just rolling. I mean, you know who you're starting here. Even when it didn't even look that good, and they still put up major points. So we're starting the big four: Hurts, Barkley, Brown, and Smith. Goddard doesn't have that much appeal to me. He just doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. So he's like a back end or fringe tight end one. But let's go to the other side, because this is much more interesting. This is a great matchup for Drake London. Now, the question is, to Kyle Pitts, can Kirk Cousins actually deliver the football to these guys, and, you know, actually more than a few air yards downfield? That is yet to be determined. I think last week, it was encouraging he was on the field. Obviously, the performance wasn't great. This week, we'll get another sense here. If we see something very similar this week, then we obviously have to have very real concerns about Kirk Cousins. But I'm not there yet with Cousins. So really like the spot for London, as I said. Like the spot for Kyle Pitts. And Bijan Robinson, I mean, he actually looked great last week. It was just the overall state of the team that held him back a little bit. But he did top 100 yards against Pittsburgh, 23 touches, which tied for his career high. I mean, everything pointing very favorably here to Bijan Robinson. So I have him as the number two guy. I actually have him, you know, it's Breece, Bijan, and then Saquon this week. It's going to be fun. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. If you want all the updates, remember, I'm updating multiple times a day, every day, rankings, projections, all that good stuff over at ftnfantasy.com. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You can also upgrade. Hey, my bets from last night, if you played the ones that were in the player props list that I have on the site, I went 3 of 5. I mean, that's a profit. So they're in there too. They're always updating. And, you know, people are like, oh, do you actually play them? Yeah, I actually played those. Yeah, I actually play them. I don't play them. Like, I won't go in there now and play what's in there now. I like to wait until, you know, game time, because my projections are just going to continually get better as we get more information through the week. But yeah, those are there. My DFS rankings. It's really easy to upgrade to DFS or to betting or to both. It's really easy, and it's not a gazillion dollars like a lot of sites charge you for these types of things. So get in on that as well at ftnfantasy.com. Appreciate people who have been reviewing this podcast. If you haven't already and you want to help me out, go to Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, go there, rate, review the show. It's extremely helpful to this podcast if you do so. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, and my wife is still right. I am nowhere near 10,000 followers on Instagram, but if you'd like to follow me there, at Jeff Ratcliffe as well. Enjoy the football this weekend. Diligent start sit decisions. Don't do anything crazy. And remember, football is fun. You're allowed to enjoy it. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side on Monday for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.